This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Taking a look at our next story, the Pakatan Harapan government is now reconsidering its initial pledge to abolish several contentious laws. This was made, this was a pronouncement made by Law Minister Dato' Liew Wee Keong. He said that the Anti-Fake News Act 2018 and the Goods and Services Tax Act 2014, however, are expected to be tabled to be repealed. And of course, there are other bits of legislation that they're looking at as well to reconsider.
Yeah, so bold claims and promises are often made during the campaign period, right? And of course, such bold claims and promises involved the Sedition Act, for example, the Prevention of Crime Act, POCA, Universities and University Colleges Act, the Printing Presses and Publications Act, all of these, and the National Security Council, all of these things that have been deemed as oppressive, not just by, well, not just by us, but of course by people like Amnesty International, by experts, and actually by the Pakatan Harapan government when they were once in opposition.
Right.
And so, yes, I'm not necessarily opposed to the idea of studying the function of these laws and seeing in what form they need to take. I mean, we don't, there's a reality that we live in which involves terrorism and very real threats to the country, right? However, the problem with these laws have always been because they have been so vague and ambiguous in their application that they've been often used against the citizenry of this country as well.
Yeah, anyone who speaks with a dissenting opinion, falls under these sort of broad bits of legislation. We're also seeing the discussion about SOSMA, the Security Offences Special Measures Act 2012. You have the likes of opposition leader Dr. Ahmad Zahid Hamidi saying that it is required and it should be maintained to keep public order. You have the Malaysian Crime Prevention Foundation, Tan Sri Lee Lam Tai, vice chairman, saying that you should consider getting some views and feedback from other stakeholders, including the police, before deciding to abolish SOSMA as well. So there's been at least some developments at least happening as we head into more days in the Dewan Raya about where these particular laws will fall.
And of course, the question also arises about whether or not our current laws, I mean, excluding these ones, can take care of those problems. Whether there are enough laws to actually address issues which can be covered by SOSMA, for example.
Yeah,
right?
and of course, we've heard from many folks, talking about where the penal code is actually there's plenty in the penal code to cover some of these issues, where there are some particular areas where we would want to sort of add some extra provisions, especially in related to areas of terrorism as well.
I know our former Deputy Prime Minister, or now Head of Opposition, Dr. Ahmad Zahid Hamidi, had come out and said that race and religious provocation will be escalated through social media if SOSMA is abolished. I don't think that's what's keeping these things in check.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people who make those statements are probably unaware of what SOSMA is, right? I think provocation at that level is going to carry on. I don't even think a racial and religious hatred act is going to solve that.
Well, for a closer look, let's cross over to Latifa Koya, who is the Executive Director at Lawyers for Liberty. Latifa, thank you very much for joining us on the evening edition. So we were mentioning SOSMA earlier, and perhaps maybe you can walk us through the fundamental issues related to it.
Right. Hi. Okay. When people talk about SOSMA, they must understand, unlike the case of a Sedition Act or an act which deals with offences or describes offence, SOSMA is actually an act which draws out the procedures and evidential process or rules. The offence of terrorism or the various offences which we talk about in dealing with security issues, actually, it does not come under SOSMA. That is under the penal code. So what SOSMA does, it sets the procedures as to how, when one is charged for an offence under the penal code for offences which are detrimental to parliamentary democracy or security issues and things like that, they will be subjected, instead of the normal criminal procedure code or the right. normal evidential rules, they'll be subjected to SOFMA. And this is where the problem is, because the procedures and evidential rules here are way below the international standards. So you don't expect a fair trial when someone is arrested and subjected to SOFMA. That is the problem.
Right. So, Latifa, what then do you think the law minister meant by having to do the research first?
That I'm not too sure. If I were to give him the benefit of doubt, if he's talking about the type of people who are being charged currently, should we review, you know, whether they should be subjected to SOFMA or can they be actually, you know, released and, you know, go through the normal process under the TPC? Because the offences still remain.
Right.
So they can be charged, but in a normal court with TPC. So the idea of having someone arrested under SOFMA, keeping them for 28 days, and then when they are charged, they will be prosecuted with evidence in the form of secret evidence, confessions, which are taken despite being tortured, detention without trial. These are the problems that we are facing. So perhaps if the Minister of Law is talking about research in that sense, then we can understand. But research in any other sense, I think the laws like SOFMA or POTA or POCA, which has got elements of detention without trial and evidential rules which are below standard, it has been discussed extensively, and I think that is why the manifesto has actually agreed to review and in the prospect of repealing SOFMA.
Right.
So I don't think that there need to be further research in that context, but definitely you need to see how much of abuse has been done for those people who have been arrested or detained under SOFMA.
Latifa, you're right. I mean, there's been a lot of discussion about, I guess, the abuse or perhaps how SOFMA has been used inappropriately. But, if we agree that, abolishing SOFMA would be the way moving forward, how would it pose a security risk to the country? But on the same note, if it is retained, do you have suggestions as to what sort of amendments could and should be made?
Well, if you are going to retain SOFMA, that means you'll have to bring up back the level of the evidential rule and the procedures, and of course remove the idea of arresting someone for 28 days without any judicial inspect or supervision. So the problem is this: just like when we were discussing on repealing ISA, mm-hmm. there is that debate always, if we remove the Internal Security Act, therefore there will not be security for this country. That is not true. And similarly, when it comes to SOFMA again, SOFMA is, like I said, the offences which are categorised where people can be arrested for an X offence, but whether you want to charge them with a fair trial or not is the issue. So you're not saying that people can, after this, if SOFMA is repealed, people can do anything they want. There is no law. Nobody will be arrested under terrorism. That's not the case. So there seems to be a deliberate, attempt to confuse the argument. So what we are asking for is putting a fair trial for anyone who is charged for anything. Otherwise, what we are seeing is this: if someone is charged for murder,
yeah.
they get far more better trials or fair trials than someone who is probably arrested for downloading materials which are connected with some kind of terrorism.
Right. Okay. Latifa, quick question before we let you go. Besides, I guess, the Sedition Act and the Printing Presses Act, are there any other laws that you think we need to consider reforming, abolishing, reviewing?
Oh, yes, of course. There are various laws within the Penal Code which are still considered. Of course, it came through the Victorian times. So that is Section 377A and 377B, known as sodomy laws, which is totally irrelevant because it's not practical and it's outdated and it is an abuse because this is actually not an offense where the people who are, say, they aggressively sodomize someone or rape someone, a man to rape a man or things like that, they can come under the 377C, which requires the consent. 377A and 377B are basically consensual sex, but it's seen as against the order of nature.
So right.
These kind of offenses should be repealed. And of course, then we have the criminal defamation under Section 500, which is completely unnecessary because that offense will actually allow someone to be charged for even offending someone who is dead, a reputation of a dead person. And that too should be removed. So we do have many other offenses or sections within the penal code that should be done with.
Sounds like a laundry list. Latifa, thank you very much for joining us on the program.
Thank you.
That was Latifa Koya, Executive Director at Lawyers for Liberty. So the core function of SOSMA is to protect the country against terrorist activities. And the question is, how effective has that been? That's something we'll discuss with Anvin Raj, the Southeast Asian Regional Director at the International Association for Counterterrorism and Security Professionals Center for Security Studies. Anvin Raj is online. Anvin, thank you very much for joining us on the program. In your research, has it shown that security laws like SOSMA have had any impact on curbing terrorist threats?
The SOSMA Act, which was created in 2012, has not been able to effectively curb these threats, especially for terrorism. The reason is the Act itself is actually a deterrent act, and it's not something that terrorists or criminals would adhere to, as the psychological aspect of a terrorist or a criminal is based on psychological as well as its ideological goals in their crimes.
If SOSMA hadn't had much of an effect, which laws are better suited or have been more successful?
The POTA Act is currently used within the region, and the U.S. also uses the POTA Act in similar aspects. The POTA Act is a prevention, not a deterrent in relations to the SOSMA. Terrorist buildup within the region and globally will tend to increase in the near future. There's no stopping to this. It's just how each country's law enforcement agency handles it in curbing the threats of terrorism. For Malaysia, the Penal Code already provides all these laws to prevent crimes or terrorism within Malaysia. And the rule of law by the new government accords the penal code to any criminal activities or terrorist activities within the country.
Andre, just to, I guess, re-clarify, so what you're saying is that we already have enough laws in place to effectively combat terrorism?
Yes, we do have enough laws to combat terrorism. The penal code actually has many of the aspects of criminalizing and addressing terrorism. But what so more of the POTA actually addresses terrorism more concretely. But it is also supported by the Penal Code to address the laws within the country.
Andrin, would abolishing SOSMA pose a national security threat to the country?
The abolishment of SOSMA will not pose a national security threat to Malaysia. As the new government has provided a statement by the new Prime Minister, Tun Mahathir, he goes by the say of the rule of law will govern the country's legality and criminal activities. So by doing that, these rule of law includes the penal code where currently the new government is actually addressing. So the abolishment of SOSMA would not be any threat to the country or any relevance to national security threats.
Well, Andrin, thank you very much for holding the line and joining us on the program for this issue. That was Andrin Raj, the Southeast Asian Regional Director. That's at the International Association for Counterterrorism and Security Professionals Center for Security Studies. And he was sharing his thoughts with us on the effects that abolishing SOSMA would have on terrorist activity. Stay tuned to the evening edition. We'll be right back after this on BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.